VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And over to my left, that you can see but not hear right at the moment, is Miss Elsa, who is Adam's niece, who doubles as my granddaughter. And she's in watching the festivities today, just for a little fun on a Saturday morning. What was supposed to be post-Syzygy Saturday and has unfortunately turned into a very devastating day for a good share of the country, which has kind of taken everybody's mind off of the eclipse, which was a lot of fun. And Elsa and I got to, quote, see the eclipse.
Yeah, I also, quote, saw the eclipse.
It was just bright enough when it was down to a sliver that if you looked through her magic glasses that she brought home from school, you could actually see the crescent through the clouds. But of all times, you have the clouds roll in and rain.
It was crazy. What a bummer.
Yeah, but a lot of the country got a really good look at it. And now we have other things to worry about, and boy, is that the truth. I'm so sorry for the people in Texas. Always said if I didn't live in Florida, I'd live in Texas.
We feel your pain. Yeah. We've been through several of them, myself in South Florida and Central Florida in years past, and it is no fun.
You know, most of us got a little bit of a feel for it last October when Matthew came through, and we had some flooding, and we know people that were much worse off than we were. It is unfathomable to me what these people are going to go through in Texas after what's happening over there. So, and for everybody else, all you generous folks out there, you're going to start seeing scams about helping these people. Be very, very careful how you try to help, because there are always bad people out there looking to rip off your money instead of sending it there. And I know the Red Cross gets a bad rap about a lot of things because they're high overhead. Well, it's a high overhead thing. When you keep an office in every little country and every little corner of the world, yeah, you got some overhead. But when you need it, they are there. So if you give them some money, good for you, I say. There will be others also. Anyway, back to business. As usual, we are here live in the studio. We are always live in the studio, so that the one thing that you can do to deviate us from our little path of non sequitur run-on stuff is to call us 222-8255 and ask your own question. We'll immediately put you to the front, and we will talk about what you would rather talk about, unlike all those pre-recorded shows who do nothing but sit around and bore you to tears with information that's at best iffy in many cases. Plus, you just get better answers here, and I can prove that. I won't, but I can. But I will if you call. Then you'll see that you get better answers.
All right. What he's trying to say is call the show and give us some questions, and we will gladly answer them.
And well, then why did it take me so long to say that?
I don't know. It really did, though. So did you notice that there is one woman up in the Northeast who's a little bit richer this week?
I did, indeed.
Yeah, and so did the rest of the country.
And did you notice the trail of vultures leading to her door?
They didn't televise that, but wow. We were just talking about it before the show came on, and she made such a huge mistake.
We have had some experience in this sort of thing, and let me tell you that coming out in public and showing her face and her name and that big check immediately, she has not had a chance to make any changes in her life, except she called in and said, I won't be back to work.
Yeah.
Well, whoopee. Mm-hmm. And if she thinks having a couple of local gendarmes circling her house 24/7 is going to keep the vultures away from her, she's got a lot to learn.
I mean, she has put herself at risk financially. Yep. And her health and her safety at risk.
Literally.
I mean, it's crazy.
And I'll bet she doesn't even know that when you discount $700 and whatever million it was for a single payment and then discount it again by the withholding, that withholding's only 25%. She owes 39.6.
Yeah.
15% of the entire take of this thing is owed in taxes now. And do you think she knows that? I can't prove whether or not she does. I doubt it.
I don't know.
She will buy things that, well, it's just, it's a terrible shame when you know someone is taking a plunge and they shouldn't. And frankly, I said it to a couple of people this week, it seems really funny, but I feel sorry for her.
In a way, I do as well. I mean, and her family, because her family is now at risk. What's the,
yes.
I mean, for kidnapping, yep. for people are crazy. And
they are.
They will do anything to get at that money. I would never want my face shown on TV with a big lottery check.
Never, never. Now, there is a disclosure requirement where she lives. So it was going to come out. But you make all your preparations first before you disclose who it is. You don't come forward on the first day and say, oh, my gosh, look at me.
Yeah, and I would be staying at a hotel under a false name in another
state. In a different city,
yeah,
a different state.
I mean, mm-hmm. There's so many things that you could do to protect yourself from that initial barrage of evil people. So I wish she had gotten some better advice or any advice prior to going to claim it.
I heard that the entire annuity industry rented a train and was headed to Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Gee, all that, and all of a sudden we forget an eclipse that happens every 99 years. Very strange. Well, we got a lot to cover today, obviously. It was in the market this week. It was what I call a week that everybody got wrong. And I don't know if Adam agrees with me, but I have in my stack of headlines for today one in particular that I really like. This is from Wednesday. The stock market is in correction mode. Can you back that one up, Adam?
Well, correction mode would be down 10%. It's down about 2%.
Mm-hmm. And what happened this week?
This week it was up about 0.6 to 0.8%, depending on which one you look at.
I'd call that a solid week.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Despite what every talking head this week on the television suspected or predicted, however you want to put it, we actually had a pretty nice week, and that was in spite of all the political turmoil and a major hurricane hitting Texas pretty much as we speak. So I would say that there's some resiliency in this market that maybe some people missed.
Maybe some did.
Yeah, so this quarter is almost 2 months old, and about 0.8 of the 9% gain on the year has come in the second half of the year. So really about 8% of the 9% came in the first half of the year, so it's been a little bit softer.
Typical.
Yeah, it's not unusual. August, September, typically very volatile. A lot of traders coming off their summer break. I don't expect that volatility to go away over the next 4 to 8 weeks. So I think we're going to just see a little bit more action in the market than we've seen all year. And that's not really a very bold statement because we haven't seen much of any action this year. It's been extremely non-volatile and
but if you're going to give me boring... Give me boring that way.
I'll take that all day long. So we'll talk more about the markets and what happened this week after the break. I've got a lot more to get to, but not enough time.
And Adam has a lottery trivia question for everybody, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. You might as well shoot it out right now. We got a few seconds.
So what I want to know is there's billions spent on lottery tickets every year. And I want to know how much per person is spent in this country per year buying lottery tickets. That doesn't mean everyone spends that much, but I want to know how much is spent per person in this country every year on lottery tickets.
And I nailed it.
No. You were a little low.
Yeah. So remember that when I thought about it, I guessed low. So You might say that the number might be a little bit bigger than most would expect. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 222-8255, area code 904. Give us a call. The first thing I wanted to do was I forgot to give out the answer to last week's trivia question, as I sometimes do. The question, for those of you who either forgot or didn't hear, was that the Dow closed over 20,000 on January 25th of this year. How many times did it close under 20,000? In other words, cross over it and pull back. Now, we know that just in this month, when we crossed 22, it's already pulled back twice from 22,000. How many times did it cross back over the 20,000 mark? And that answer was one, and it lasted 4 or 5 days, and it took off. And I will say never to look back so far.
Yeah, it could happen.
Now, a 10% correction at a market level right now would take it back under 21, then back under 20. So don't think it can't happen, but it has only happened once. All right, so that one said, Adam's question for this week, the lottery question, what is the per capita spending in the U.S. on lottery tickets annually? My next order of business, I made a promise last week. I'm keeping it. For those who remember, we had a caller ask us. He had a joint account with his son. And they were, first off, he wanted to know if he would incur any taxes by selling the stock that was in it. And since that stock was down, the answer was no. But then we got talking about how would it be allocated in a joint account where it's not your spouse and or you're not filing a joint tax return. And I thought about it, and I realized I wasn't sure. And I'm pretty sure of a lot of things like that. Not a tax preparer, but I know a lot about it. And it occurred to me that I don't think anybody ever asked that question of me before. So I went to work and did some research, and I always like to get a quick answer so I know which way to turn. So I contacted my most wonderful CPA, and she said, it's not a simple answer, at which time I breathed a big sigh of relief.
I've seen it. I've actually personally seen it handled different ways before. So
I like when I don't know something instantly, I like finding out it's actually complicated. It makes me feel better. So what there's sort of a rule of thumb, and there's sort of a rule of print and all that stuff. And I researched this. I can't find it anywhere on the Schwab forms, the TD forms. But what generally happens when you have a non-spouse joint account or a joint account with a spouse and you're for some reason filing separate returns, because if you file them together, nobody cares. So the answer is generally losses and gains are allocated to the owners of the account in the proportion to which they funded that account. So if it's got $1,000 in it, each one put in $500, the gains and losses are split 50-50. Well, that's not always easy if you've had this account open for a while and you've done some buying and selling and somebody put some money in, somebody took some money out, and on. So then you refer to the paperwork on the account, which could depend on your custodian. And the custodian may have a default way of doing it in the absence of better information. The rule of thumb, however, and you can use this as a rule of thumb, but I would always try to be more specific if I were you. The rule of thumb is he or she who gets the benefit is the one who is mostly responsible for the account.
And that's what I've seen before when parents add their, when elderly parents add their kids to an account, and it happens all the time, so the kids can write checks on their behalf or pay their bills for them. That typically, if it's a taxable account, the parent still claims any gains or losses from that account, and that kid does not have any responsibility for that.
And quite frankly, if I had a brokerage account and were going to put a child on it to help me do those things, I would open up a separate account that was only for checking. Keep investments and bill paying as separate accounts.
Sure, but I've seen it done.
So. Oh, it's been done a lot. A lot of people don't like to clutter themselves with more than that. But the thing I found out that made me feel the best was it wasn't an easy answer. So yep. I was right not to shoot my mouth off, I guess. But anyway, that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it can also vary. Here, just a little twist on the thing. If the kid is not over 24, you might have kiddie tax problems.
Hmm. Yeah, that's never fun to deal with.
And on that one, I defer to the CPAs.
Definitely.
I'm not giving you any advice on that one.
Very complicated.
All right. Let's see. Me first or you first?
I'll finish
you
up.
You want to finish the market wrap?
Okay. Yeah, just
want
to talk about
I want to do some more headlines because stupidity is rampant out there lately, and I get really enthused about that.
This breaking news. So international markets also had a pretty good week. They had been kind of falling with the U.S. market, but China actually gained over 3%, Brazil just under 3%, and Russia over 2%. Russia is one of the few markets that's still negative on the year, but the loss has been reduced to just 2.4%. And if you remember, I think it was a month ago, it was down about 8%. So not a bad rebound over the last few weeks. Mexico is up over 32% this year, while China's up over 23% and Brazil more than 21%. International really lagged the U.S. markets during our long, long recovery. But this year, it's kind of reversed. So good time to be in international funds, and hopefully you hadn't gotten out because of the underperformance over the last few years. Also in the U.S. market, the large caps have really been kind of the shining stars this year. Small caps have been pretty terrible. It's been true for all of the beginning of the year. It's been true through this pretty short little soft spot we've had as well. Part of it's due to the strengthening dollar, which always punishes the small caps. The other part is the tax reform deal. So small caps tend to pay a larger percentage of their income in taxes, and so therefore the tax reform would benefit them more than the large caps. So if we can get that pushed through, I would really look for a nice bounce in small caps, but it has to get through first, and who knows if the morons in Washington can get that done.
You know, it would have been a whole different story had the simplicity of getting rid of Obamacare just sailed right through.
Yeah, well, thanks, McCain.
Yeah.
Economic data this week was split kind of right down the middle of good and bad reports. The real soft spot, surprisingly, came in housing with three reports that missed expectations.
Yeah, did you hear the other one that was unreported?
I did not.
Year over year, we're up 9.2%.
On what?
Housing sales.
Sales, not mm-hmm. prices, because prices up about 7%.
Yeah, housing sales.
Yeah,
so they don't want to do that. So you have a slow month because you're measuring it from point to point, and they don't tell you how good things are because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Oh, sure. No, I was going to. They weren't as bad as they seemed. The prices were lower than what they expected them to increase, but they still increased. And they're also, you have to remember with housing, it's a volatile thing, so you have to look at the trend. The other thing is that the inventory has been setting consecutive new record lows every month for about the last 6 months. So when you see that new home sales and existing home sales are down, part of that is just that there isn't that much to find. The market for the new homes actually has the lowest level in history for months on the market, 2.9 months. That's the lowest, tied for the lowest level since they started doing that report.
I would call that a seller's market.
And the prices are up 7% year over year. So it's not really consistent with a housing market that's falling apart.
No. In fact, I personally think home builders are a good market segment right now.
Yeah, and I think that we are. I don't think we're going to see 7 to 10% price appreciation forward. I think you're going to see it more normalized around 2 to 4%, which is fine. I mean, a healthy market would be matching the rate of inflation. But I really don't think that we're going to see another bubble either. So, in fact, there's really no signs of a bubble. People just want there to be a bubble because that's what we're used to seeing.
Yeah, they want it until the day it collapses.
Yeah. I think people just want to be able to predict it. They feel like home prices have come up too much, but that's because they went down too much during the housing mm-hmm. crisis.
Markets always overreact. First rule of thumb.
So other than that, the jobless claims, did you see that? They beat last month's crazy low number.
And you got to go back to 1969 to find jobless claims like this when the population was a fraction what it is.
Exactly. So all in all, I mean, it wasn't a stellar week for economic data, but really not bad either.
No, it's excellent. And like I say, if it doesn't fit their narrative, you're not going to hear the truth about it. So listen to this show and you will get a thorough understanding of what's going on out there. All right. We're talking a lot about things like stupidity, lack of economic education, that sort of thing, which brings us back to that lottery thing. What's the per capita spending on lottery tickets in this country? Here's one that this is a really moment. Somebody paid for this. But on Monday, it was announced that higher cigarette prices encourage smokers to quit.
No way.
I am not making this up. They actually, it's somebody called DPA copyrighted this thing. So thanks, DPA. You could have called me, saved a whole bunch of money.
That's hard to believe.
The marginal demand on pricing is one of the most simple concepts in all of economics.
I think that's day one of Econ 101, the pricing curve.
I believe you're right about that. I already mentioned the stock market being in correction mode, which is just a little invisible in my world. Now, here's a good one. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
This is an Amazon-related question. I always like Amazon questions. Whole Foods' lower prices won't cause deflation.
Okay.
So Whole Foods, which serves what fraction of 1% of the population on a good day?
Very, very high-end shoppers who care about the organics and things like that.
Cut the prices in the Whole Foods chain, it's not going to lead to overall deflation in the country. Let's see. Duh. Come to mind? All right, here's another goodie. You invest $20,000. You take home $872,600. That's a 4,263% profit in just 2.5 months. Guess what this is?
No clue.
A marijuana stock that did this supposedly in 2016. But doesn't this say you invest it and you take home that much? Well, who's got the time machine out there? I want to go back to the beginning of 2016. Sure, I'll sign up. Only, why 20,000? Make it 50,000.
Good luck.
But I want a guarantee. Think I'll get one?
Probably not.
I'm telling you, I just shake my head sometimes. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this is Captain Dave.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you. Are you back home?
Yeah, I got back from Jamaica day before yesterday.
Jamaica, farewell.
Just for another couple of months. Now that this hurricane season's on, I sort of curtail my visits because I don't know if there's going to be one here or there.
Well, based on what's going on today in Texas, I would have to call that a pretty wise move.
Yep. Anyway, I just was wondering what your thoughts were on this 2 million ounce gold trade that occurred somewhere last week. You know anything about that?
I just saw the headline this morning. I didn't read the article, but yeah, it was kind of shocking to everybody, apparently. I don't know much about it, though.
Who were the buyers and sellers?
Like nobody knows much about it.
Right, and that was the gist of the headline, was that it kind of shocked
Mysterious.
The market.
Hmm. It shocked it, good or bad? Depends if you got a willing buyer.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
I don't know anything about it, but I'll see if I can find anything this week. Two million ounces?
Yeah.
2 million ounce. The headline is, but business news. Gold is shaken by a mysterious 2 million ounce trade.
Hmm. And what did gold do for the week?
It's just pretty much where it was.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, there wasn't a big shock there's to no the ripple. Price. No.
I would have noticed a ripple in the market, and it didn't seem to create one.
It closed at 12.90.80. Yeah, so
it's right there.
It's an interesting trade, though.
Somebody traded 2 million ounces of gold. Hey, here's 2 million ounces of gold.
Well, they're probably move that much? They're probably stashing money to buy lotto tickets.
Yeah. Very funny. All right, I just thought you might have some insight on that. I said, what the heck
no,
is that?
I just saw it this morning, and I don't really know anything about it. In fact, I don't think the article really knew anything about it either. So
it's all very vague except a big headline.
All right, yeah. Well, I suspect there'll be information released this week, so listen next week, and we'll talk about it.
Sure will. I always
very curious. That's
all right, guys.
It's a lot of money.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Dave.
As long as there's a willing buyer and willing seller at that price, though, I mean, that's not because someone's obviously bullish on it and someone's bearish on it.
Well, that's true anytime you're talking about metals. But my thing would be I'd like to know who the buyer was, whether it's foreign or domestic.
Yeah, my guess would be it starts with Ch and ends with Ina.
And my guess is that you may well be close. And usually if it's a manipulator like a government, or a Goldman Sachs or somebody like that, a J.P. Morgan, then you got to wonder why.
I don't know. That one kind of, I just saw it while I was prepping for the show this morning. I didn't pay much attention to
it. Well, listen next week, and we will tell you anything that we can find out this week for sure. Meanwhile, attention residents of St. Johns County, a new scam coming over your phone. You know how much I detest when people prey on the elderly. It's the lowest form of life.
It really is.
Well, here it is. St. Johns County's Sheriff's Office is warning the public about a phone scam that's already cost an elderly victim thousands of dollars. You want to know how they're doing this one? Jury duty. Hmm. I am not making this up. You know how guilty most of us feel about our feelings about doing jury duty. You know it's a very important thing, and you really kind of look forward to not having to do it. I have done it, and I will do it again when called, no doubt about it. But what happens is the caller calls the people and says he has a warrant for missed jury duty and demands money for the bond, or they're going to come and pick him up and throw him in jail.
A warrant for missed jury duty. Come on.
Yeah. The scam cost an elderly victim around $3,000 and most likely will not be recovered.
Wow.
They're only aware of one victim so far, and they're trying to get ahead of it and stay out of it, and I'm trying to do the same thing. If anyone ever calls you about jury duty, know it's a scam. Those things come in the U.S. mail.
Mm-hmm.
Always, always, always.
Yep, just like the IRS.
Yep. Just say no. I know how afraid people get.
And I did get an IRS call, too, a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Bums. So common.
Yeah, I've had some of these that come and go. They'll give you a couple months off, and then they hit you again. But this one I've not had. But it was picked up in St. Johns County this week. I want everybody to know that does not mean that it won't bleed into Duval County or Baker County or anyplace else. It could easily spread like wildfire. But be suspicious, but mostly be smart. Know that none of these things are ever done by a telephone. Sad, because people fall for it, and fell for it this time. It's terrible. All right, what's more important to spend your time on, deciding where to go for dinner or what to invest in your IRA?
I've got an opinion on that.
Yeah, you probably do. Would it surprise anybody to know that 25% of the people out there would spend 2 hours selecting a restaurant?
Why would it take that long?
I'm really not sure. But, hey, they'll spend a lot of time. 21% will spend a couple hours selecting a flat-screen TV.
Now, that makes a little more sense.
A tablet computer, 16% of the people spend a couple hours. 15% of the people will spend 2 hours selecting an investment in an IRA, the rest of them less.
Wow, that's pretty incredible.
47% of the people not contributing say they would consider an IRA, down from 57% in 2013. People, are we going backwards? Seriously? Are we not doing our job here?
Not well enough, apparently.
Even those who already have an IRA, more than half, say they spent an hour or less planning the investment. It just mystifies me.
So the one time that would be okay is if you bought a target date fund. That would be okay.
I can live with that answer.
Yep. But absolutely, outside of that, if you are not doing that, I have to be very wary of what you're picking.
All right. Well, I was going to use this one for a trivia question today, but since Adam came up with a good one, I did not. In 2012, only 22% of Americans contributed to an IRA. What percentage contribute today?
I don't know.
I shoot out a guess.
What was the original number?
22% in 2012.
Okay, so most people are covered by a 401k at work, so a lot of those people won't contribute to an IRA, so that number doesn't surprise me too much. I would go with 28%.
17.
Down. I went the opposite way.
Huh. That's what caught my eye in this thing.
More people are...
No.
I don't know why that would be.
They're just not paying attention. That's what I believe. Three considerations for opening an IRA. How much will the account cost me? Is the custodian a good fit with my investing needs? Should I roll my 401k to an IRA or leave it with my old employer? Well, I can answer that one. Roll it. Most of the time,
yeah.
These are those 98% solutions. If you want to have rules of thumb in this business and give simple answers to questions like that, know that you're going to be wrong once or twice out of 100. But generally speaking, when you leave a company, take your money with you and take control of it. Yes, there are reasons not to do that. Some people do not want to have a rollover IRA. And a lot of those are people who might want to do a backdoor Roth contribution. What that means is you cannot have other IRAs, or you cannot, let's back up a little bit. People who make too much money to contribute directly to a Roth IRA can still contribute to one if they play their cards right. What happens is they contribute but do not deduct the contribution to a traditional IRA. They then roll it into the Roth. The problem comes when you have other IRA money, because that rollover is taxable, or I should say tax-free, to the extent that it is a proportion of all of your IRAs. So if you have no IRAs, it's 100%, which means it's 100% non-taxable rollover.
Right. So what he's saying is basically if you have other IRA money and you want to do a Roth conversion, you're going to pay some taxes. So if you don't have any other IRA money, you won't pay those taxes.
Yeah, stick all that money. You can even roll the IRA back into the old 401k, or you can take the 401k into your new 401k, or you can open up a personal 401k if you're a self-employed individual making money. There are so many things that we can help you do. But first, more than 17% of you have to understand that putting an IRA on top of all your other investments is the best way you're going to retire. All right, we'll cover the rest of that and a few other things as soon as we get back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And the lines are open, 222-8255. Trivia question is still out there. It's a lottery trivia question. What is the per capita annual spending on lottery tickets? And Adam has a bit more to say about that subject.
Yeah, I found it quite interesting. This kind of might give away the answer if you have a calculator handy, but anyways, I wanted to tell you about where the money from the lottery tickets, once it's collected, where does it go? So I won't say the total amount because that would make it way too easy. But what I will tell you is that about 63% of the money that's spent on lottery tickets is paid out in prizes. So the rest of it goes to state and local governments and other places. Most of it, $16.7 billion went to education. Well, $2.5 billion went into state general funds. And $1.3 billion was spent on social programs for the homeless, the elderly, and drug and alcohol treatment. Another $1.7 billion was spread among other government programs. And the very smallest slice of that is $20 million that went towards state programs for problem gamblers. Interesting that that's the lowest of the all the government programs it's spent on. Another $6 billion was paid out in commissions to retailers who sell lottery tickets. And the last $6 billion or so goes towards the administrative costs of running the lottery. So that includes advertising, salaries for the executives and the other people who work there. So that is kind of where the money goes. But only 63% gets paid out in prizes. Thought that was interesting.
It is interesting.
A lot of those smaller prizes never get collected because people, when they see they didn't win the Powerball, they just throw their ticket out and never find out if they won anything.
That figures.
Yeah.
Is playing the stock market like buying lotto tickets?
It's nothing like that, because once you buy your lottery ticket, and let's say you buy five Powerball tickets for $10 and you don't win the Powerball, then what you have is a piece of paper that is worth, well, nothing more than what it's printed on. So, I mean, it's literally worthless. So if you buy a stock and let's say you buy it at 20 and it declines to 10, you still have something worth $10. Now, if you buy a stock that goes out of business, okay, now there you're similar to the lottery at that point. But most stocks on any given day do not go out of business. Most companies do not go out of business. And therefore, you still have something of value with a potential to increase in value in the future. Once the lotto is done and the numbers are picked, you have nothing.
What percentage of stocks over the history of our stock market beat treasury bills?
I don't know.
5%.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
The rest of them underperform T-bills.
That's crazy.
Now, does that mean that you didn't make any money?
It depends what you bought, I guess.
And what's the lesson from that? See where I'm going?
Yeah, sure. You can still make money even if you underperform T-bills. So there you go.
What's the best way not to underperform T-bills?
To buy T-bills, I would say.
Well, that'll match it, but better yet, how do you beat the T-bill thing in the market?
Oh, I would say buy the broad market index. And
of course, just index.
Play, yeah.
Well, the whole answer is diversification. This was just done by a professor who's written a lot, and he explained all this, and he was very careful to say, I am not advocating that you stay out of the market. I am in the market. I am fully diversified, and I use a lot of indexing.
Yeah.
Because if you're thinking you're going to get one of that 5%, you better be really good.
Well, you might.
Really lucky.
You might get one.
Well, you will get one if you do a broad market index.
Let's say you bought five. That means the other four are almost guaranteed to be losers.
Almost, unless you were so prescient that you bought FANG a couple of years ago.
Right.
And then you'd make all kinds of money, and then you'd keep holding it until most of it went away.
And by the way, all the FANG stocks still 5 years ago appeared really overvalued. Now they appear really, really overvalued.
Yeah, so, I agree. By the way, this segment is brought by Robinson Landscape Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. And one of the reasons I brought that up was I don't think in my 30-odd years of coming to Florida and 25 years of living here, I have ever seen a growing season like this one.
Yeah, it's been pretty solid.
Rain and sunshine, often at the same time. We had a dandy rainstorm the other day, and the sun was shining so bright we had to shelter our eyes. Very, very strange. All right, I mentioned last week, and I didn't get a chance to beat it up very much, buying gold in your IRA and keeping it at home. You've heard the commercials. If you can't hold it in your hands, do you really own it? That kind of thing. Now, keep your IRA at home, and the guy's got a little safe on his table, and it has stacks of gold coins in there, and it's just, yeah, that's you all over the place, right? Well, there's only one problem with that. In all of my training, I learned one very, very large thing about having precious metals in your IRAs. A, only some types are allowable at all, and none of it is allowable to be in your hands because that violates the prohibition on self-dealing. Well, the last couple years, you've been seeing this a lot now about how you can hold it at home now. So I did a little research on it, and what I find is it has to be in the hands of a non-bank trustee. Now, are you a non-bank trustee? Here's some things that are: Archer Medical Savings Accounts, Health Savings Accounts, Qualified Retirement Plan Custodial Accounts, 403B Custodial Accounts, Individual Retirement Arrangements, Roth IRA, Deferred Comp Plan of State and Local Government and Tax Exempt Organizations, Coverdale Education Savings Account. Well, if you look at those IRA things in there, there might be some justification, I guess, for saying that that could be declared a non-bank trustee, but it has to be listed. So I've got a little piece of the IRS code here, Treasury Reg Section 1.4082E. It says non-bank trustees list that you can click on and get it. If you don't find what you want, we're trying to figure out the end of this. Alan wants to know. Listener wants to know how you something, and the rest of it doesn't show up on my screen, so I can't complete the sentence.
Tell your last name.
Oh, our last name. Adam knows. Well, go ahead. Tell him name, number, how to get hold of us and all that.
Yeah, sure. If you want to find us, the best way is online, and it's VanWeeFinancial.com. That's VanWeeFinancial. Or, as I always say, for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo, VanWeeFinancial.com.
And it is two words in actuality, but on our website it is not. It is Dutch rather than German. My father long contended that there were only two kinds of people in the world, those who were Dutch and those who wish they were Dutch. I think he was a little biased, but that's not the point. Anyway, my bottom line on owning gold at home in your IRA is that you better be really, really thorough doing your research. I cannot find a very specific yes or no on it. It's really kind of a muddy area. And whenever you do it, I promise you, you know how you get those red flags to the IRS, like the home office deduction?
Yep.
If you have a home office deduction on your tax return, yeah, they might look at it. But if you deserve one, take it. Don't be afraid of taking legal deductions.
I've heard that's not as much of a flag as it used to be because it's so much more common these days.
And there, yes, so many people are telecommuting now that in the old days, what they don't like would be a situation like mine, the reason I could never claim it. I leave my house, get in my car, 5 minutes later I arrive at my real office. They're not going to look at my little home office kindly if I try to take a deduction for that.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But this is how I feel about these gold IRAs.
That being said, out of my siblings and my wife's siblings, there are five of us total. 60% of us actually work out of a home office.
And I can't count the percentage increase over the last 5 to 10 years, but I've watched it in our clients and our family and so on. And it makes so much sense for the corporation because think of all the bricks and mortar they save.
Yeah, it does. There's really no reason for them to... and. Not to mention the lost time commuting and just so many reasons to not do it.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. Next week, I'm going to talk about pensions. Should you accept a pension buyout offer? Now, there's a question many, many of our people that come and see us are being faced with. Big corporations are finding out, and unfortunately their employees are finding out, that a lot of pensions have been underfunded for a long time. If you think about the city of Jacksonville, how many decades has it been that they're underfunded? And Adam has a real big to-do on that one.
All right, so the lottery ticket question is $325 a year per person in this country is spent on lottery tickets. And the other thing is less than half of the people in this country actually play lotto. So that means that per person who does play the lotto, the number is more than $650 per year on average. That's insane.
Did we talk about the lack of economic education in the country? I think we did.
If everyone put that in an IRA, how much better off would people be?
It's a regressive income tax on the poor. Don't use it for your retirement plan, people. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the same time. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.